You may remember that during the Lenten, that whole Lenten time, we were reflecting especially on this topic of freedom. We went through those five different keys of freedom, asking for a deeper liberation from the Lord. And just like we had this preaching series during Lent, we also have one during Easter. And it's going to be on the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And these two are deeply connected, actually, both of these. They go together just like Christ's death and resurrection go together. This is the way that the Catechism explains this connection. It says, the Paschal mystery has two aspects. By his death, Christ liberates us from sin. That's why we focused on that topic of liberation, of deeper freedom. By his resurrection, he opens for us the way to a new life, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This topic of newness of life, because this is what we see. We see it in scriptures and we still see it today. That when somebody, when any of us, has that encounter with Jesus Christ, alive and risen, when we experience that, when we can say with our hearts those words, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, because we've experienced that in our lives, we begin to live in a new way. We could call it like resurrection mode. There's a different way of living, right? Think of it in your car, for example. Some of you may have those knobs that you can turn. You can go from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive, right? And you feel the difference, greater traction. You may have econ mode to sport mode, and you can feel the difference there too. In Argentina, when I was living there, we had a car that worked on both natural gas and gasoline. And when you had it on natural gas, it was cheaper to drive. That's why we had it. It's cheaper with natural gas. But boy, it took a long time to accelerate. And it did not go fast. But you kind of hoped for the natural gas to run out, because as soon as you switched over to gasoline, there was like this new power. All of a sudden, you could accelerate faster, drive faster, right? Well, there's something similar that takes place within us as we begin to live in resurrection mode. St. Paul, the way that he describes it is he says, we can either live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. Those are the two modes of living. And what he says is, there are like little signals that help us to see in what mode we're living, whether it's according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. He calls them the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. They're like outward expressions and signs of which way we're living. For example, he says, the works of the flesh, these outward signs, expressions, manifestations that we're living according to the flesh are immorality, impurity, idolatry, drunkenness, carousing, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, envy, right? All these signs. But he says, against these, opposed to these, are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see how sweet those sound? That's why they're the fruits of the Spirit. There's something that when you hear that, you say, I'd like to live in that way. I'd like to be able to express those, to manifest those. And we see that. Last week, we had a retreat for high school students. It's called the Easter High Retreat. And it's from Wednesday of Holy Week until Easter Sunday. They're on retreat. And they live out those powerful days of that Easter Triduum on retreat. And by the end of it, I can't explain in the Easter Vigil the joy that these 85 students that came had. You could feel it. It was palpable and tangible in the air. Well, this week we met back after 4 days of being off retreat. We came back together and we were sharing in the cenaculo groups, they're called. They were sharing a question, how have these past 4 days been? And one of the students, he shared that he went back to school this week, and he said, like, in different occasions this week, people came up to him, they said, hey, there's something different about you, they said. So like, you have like this different joy about you, you're talking with other people, connecting more, like this enthusiasm. They're like, did something happen? Like, what happened? He said, yeah, something did happen. I went on this retreat, this Easter High retreat, and he said, I can't quite explain it, but I encountered Jesus. I experienced that he's alive and risen, that he's with me. Well, that's an example of these fruits that are beginning to manifest themselves in his life. Jesus, the way that he explains it, he gives the image of the vine and the branches, which I think is also helpful. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, he says. When we begin to live more and more grafted in him, rooted in him, and that Holy Spirit, that's the sap of that vine and branches, flows through us, that new life that is in us begins to manifest itself outwardly through these fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we can begin to grow in those fruits. So this Easter season, we want to reflect on these different fruits. Each week, we're going to go through different fruits. The one that we want to focus on this week is peace. Peace as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the reason we do that is because in this reading that we read, the gospel, Jesus says to his apostles three times, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That peace, what is peace? Peace can be defined just simply as this, tranquility of order. Not just any order, though. The deep peace that we're speaking of, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is order in our relationship with God, with others, with ourselves. A deep peace. And each time that Jesus says, peace be with you in this gospel, he is manifesting in some way different insights into this peace, what this peace is, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the first time, for example, Jesus appears. It says, he says to his apostles, peace be with you. And what does he do? He shows them his hands and his side, those wounds. That's very significant. And it's an insight into this peace that he's offering. Why? Because Jesus Christ, when he's doing that, he's like the victor king coming back from battle and showing his battle scars and saying, this is how I've won this peace for you. I've overcome. The war is over through these wounds. Just imagine for a moment what it would have been like to see that. The holes in his hands, the hole in his side there that he's showing them, those battle scars. St. Paul writes all about this. He says in Colossians, he made peace through the blood that he shed on the cross. In Ephesians, he says, Christ himself is our peace. He's won that peace. What he's showing them is that he's overcome our greatest enemies. If peace is tranquility of order, Christ is showing them through his wounds all the enemies that cause so much disorder in our life. He's overcome them. Sin, Satan, and death. He's overcome them all through that. That's what he's showing them. He's saying to them, I've overcome that sin that creates so much disorder, that disrupts your peace in your life, because I bore those sins on my shoulders and on the cross, and I obliterated that act of condemnation that was against you through my death on the cross. Satan, he had no grip on me. I was the sinless one that died in the place of the sinners. And I trampled over Satan. And I overcame death too, through my resurrection. Death had no grip on me. I once was dead, but now I'm alive and I live forever. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. And he's proclaiming that. And through all of that, he's reconciled us back to God. And that is the source of our deepest peace. If we understand that, we can understand in a deeper way those words of St. Augustine. Our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Until we're brought back into communion with God, our hearts will be restless. We will not experience deep peace. But when he brings us back into communion with God, we begin to experience a deep peace in our lives, in our hearts. The second time that he says, peace be with you, he doesn't show them his wounds. It says, he says, peace be with you. And then he breathes his Holy Spirit upon them. This is also very significant. Because what he's doing is he's saying, this peace that I won for you, me, I who am your peace, I now breathe that into your hearts. I share that peace with you. When he says, peace be with you, it's not just like a hopeful wish for you, right? Not just a nice greeting. It's effective peace when he breathes that spirit. He said it in the Last Supper. Look at this quote. This is the peace he speaks of. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. And he goes on to say, I have said this to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but do not be afraid, I have conquered the world. This is so important. There is a peace that only comes from Jesus Christ, that this world cannot offer us, that nobody else can offer us. He's saying, my peace is not like the peace of the world. You know what the peace of the world is? It's Hakuna Matata peace. That's what the peace of the world is. A very superficial peace, a peace that isn't lasting, that's inconsistent, that avoids any troubles. It's like the image of just being on the beach, carefree. That's the peace of the world. He's saying, my peace isn't like that. He's saying, my peace is so deep that even when you're going through the deepest struggles, you can still experience peace in your heart because I'm with you. I saw this very clearly in the life of a man about a month ago. You may remember back to January and February, we had 8 weekends of San Juan Diego retreats that we were praying for, one after another, 70 people per weekend coming on these retreats. And in one of those retreats, a man came. He was living far away from God. He didn't really want to go to that retreat, but his wife was 6 months pregnant. And she said, please go for me. I can't go because I'm pregnant, but I want you to go. So he said, okay. So he went. When he went on this retreat, through that retreat, he had a powerful experience of Christ, a powerful encounter with Jesus, experienced his mercy, his love. He came out of that retreat so on fire and with determination to keep that new life alive in him. Well, 2 weeks later, after he got back from that retreat, his wife, who was 6 months pregnant, went into labor at 26 weeks, and she gave birth to triplets. One of those triplets, one of the babies, was born without a heartbeat. And the doctors were able to resuscitate this little baby, bring her back to life, and they named her Milagros, which means miracles. She was their miracle baby. Well, sadly, Milagros only lived for 5 days. They were able to get her baptized before that, though, and the other babies as well. And when Milagros passed away, really early in the morning, they called us. I went to the hospital to visit them, and this man who had been on this retreat, he was there, and of course, nobody except for someone who's lost a child knows what that pain is. And you could see that on his face, but at the same time, he was strengthening his wife. He could see something different in him. And when I talked with him, he said, Father, if I had not gone on that retreat, I would be falling apart right now. I would never be able to handle this, what I'm going through. But he said, because of that encounter with Christ, he says, even in the midst of so much pain, I experience a deep peace in my heart. Because I have this peace that Christ is with me and Milagros is with Christ. Christ is with me and Milagros is with him. That's the peace that only Jesus can offer. Nobody, nothing else can offer that peace. So the question for us today is, well, how can we grow in that peace? Because these fruits, it's not just given to you in full. It's something that you grow into. And here's where the third one comes in. The third time that Jesus said, peace be with you, he said it to Thomas, doubting Thomas. He said, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in the nail marks. Put your hand in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. Peace be with you. The way that we grow in peace is through contact with Christ. How can we do that? There's two ways. One way, a special way, is every time you come to Mass. The Mass is a deep source of peace. Something amazing that I want you to pay attention to today is in the Mass, Jesus, that sacrifice that he made, those wounds, everything, is made present to us in the Mass. His body and blood becomes present on the altar. Right after the consecration, the priest, you're going to hear Father Ignacio say it in just 15 minutes, you're going to hear him say peace 7 times right after the consecration, over and over again. After the Our Father, he's going to pray, deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days. Then the priest points to the Eucharist and says, Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity. And then that peace flows from the Eucharist to you. He says, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And then what do? Then you share it with each other. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. That peace that flows from Christ flows to you, and you spread it to others. And then at the Lamb of God, the final Lamb of God, grant us peace. Over and over again, we're asking for that. The resurrected Christ, to let that peace flow from the Eucharist. And at the end of the Mass, the bonus one, the eighth one, go in peace. Bring that peace out to the world, to a world that doesn't have peace. Bring the peace of Christ out there. Let it grow in you and then bring it out to the world. And the second way is connected to what we celebrate today. It's very providential. Today's Divine Mercy Sunday, and Jesus said to St. Faustina, mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. That's what he said. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. You can pray that chaplet of divine mercy, but you can pray especially that simple prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. When you're experiencing a lack of peace, anytime you can pray that prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. And so I want to finish in that way, that we can pray that together. I invite you to look at the image here if you can see it. To let Jesus pour out that peace into your hearts. In this image, he's blessing you and letting his light and his peace shine forth. And we're going to pray this prayer three times together. I say Jesus, and you say I trust in you. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.